Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, Crowder and I admittedly were not really listening to your update there. I do know that at one point I heard a bunch of silence. I looked over. He looked at me with his doe eyes. But then he said to us right before we went on the air here, Alejandro, in our headphones, said, "Great recovery by me."
Excellent.
Was it a great recovery? Because I didn't. What happened? You forgot where Ecuador was?
No, I wrote down Ecuador was playing Chile, even though I know they don't, because Uruguay, my team, plays Chile.
Gotcha.
But I remembered. It took me about 4 seconds of dead air.
All right. Well, listen, you got where you're going. That's the key. It's like any road trip. As long as you end up getting where you're going, you got where you're going.
But what if it takes you 2 days longer than it should have? Well, is that a success?
Then you're like a settler.
You're taking an Oregon Trail.
Yeah, pretty much. So, Team USA wins. They beat Spain 2-1. Now, obviously, as Americans, that is awesome. As gamblers, not as great. Crowder and I had Team USA minus 1 and 1.5. So, we pushed half the bet and... what's going on there? And we lost half the bet. So, that, yeah, I don't want to get all LeVar Ball on you here, but that post game show they got on whatever channel we're watching the U.S. Spain game on is all right in my book.
Come on, LeVar, you okay over there? I actually don't think LeVar did anything wrong, but we won't get into that.
I'll tell you what, man, that's one of those things where you can't even really say anything because you're just going to get jumped on anyway. Right. So what's the point?
If you're ready to get into it, I'll get jumped on because I'm on LeVar's side.
I happen to be on LeVar's side, too. That whole story to me. Look, there is I would never dismiss the way someone feels. The way someone feels is always legit. So if Molly Karam. If Molly Karam feels a certain way, then there's legitimacy to her feelings. I get that. Just listening and looking at the tape, I don't think he had sexual intentions. I just don't.
Do you know you call me and Solana and Falero, you call us baby doll?
Yep.
You'll say that to us all the time.
You're like, hey,
man, can we get into this? Oh, whatever you want, baby doll. That's like your thing.
Yep.
If you say that to a woman, she can be offended.
Absolutely.
You've done it for years.
Yes.
And I don't take it. I don't think you're shooting at me.
Right.
I don't think you're sexually taking a shot at me.
Right.
So if it's somebody else.
Been there.
You've sexually taken a shot at me?
No. Been there.
Okay.
Shooting time's done. Been there.
Damn, I need to stop drinking. I don't remember that one.
I just don't think he had intent.
No.
That's not, again, this is the fine line you have to walk, though. That's not dismissing Molly Karam's feelings. But you've got to figure out also, was he trying to be sexual in that moment? I didn't think he was.
I don't think he was either.
But speaking of, that is, I mean, what's our...
Why are they rubbing hands?
What is that? Telemundo, Telemundo's postgame show is all right. Who's our Dolphins postgame show? It's like Troy Stratford and Curtis?
Yes. I don't want to see them touch.
Well, I mean, look at what's going on Telemundo. And you wonder why radio's going out of business and television's exploding. We've got
Cap.
Don't touch me, Cap. We've got Cap.
What are you reaching over here for?
And Troy Stratford. Much like Kawhi Leonard, I would like to dub this week, I'm a fun week. This will just be a fun week.
I'm with you.
I'm a fun week. There's not a whole bunch of stuff going on this week. We're going to have some fun. We're going on vacation the following 2 weeks. So you'll be here for a couple of days, but yeah. I'll be gone the next 2 weeks after this. So this is going to be a fun week. I'm a fun week. That's our week. I'm a fun week.
You say it, Phil. Kawhi says it. Not fun.
I'm a fun guy.
No, you have to ask me more questions or really know me. I'm a fun guy.
I'm a fun week.
This is really a fun week.
Hurricanes had their paradise camp. We're going to talk about that today. NBA Awards, is that tonight? I think the NBA Awards is tonight. Glenn Geffner has forced the Miami Marlins into the conversation. I don't know if you saw his string of tweets. Now, Glenn Geffner, do you know him at all?
No.
Nicest guy on the planet. Just, you could tell, loves to still fill out his scorebook. He's the radio broadcaster, radio play-by-play guy for the Miami Marlins, if you're not aware. But Glenn Geffner has forced the Miami Marlins into the conversation because he went on a Twitter rant yesterday. Hmm. And Glenn Geffner is at the bottom of my list of guys who would go on a Twitter rant. Like, that's how nice a guy that he is. Like, Greg Likens ever go on a Twitter rant?
No, not at all. If Barry Jackson got in a fist fight, he's at the end of my fist fight list.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I understand totally what you're saying.
So, Barry Jackson. Glenn Geffner. Let me see if I can find his little Twitter rant.
He snapped?
Well,
was it 2 a.m. or was he really mad?
Here's the thing. He works for the Marlins. So I understand he's got great pride in that organization. He's been through a second ownership group now. I can't remember if he was here before Loria and Samson got here. But he is their radio broadcaster, generally mild-mannered. You remember Tommy Hutton? He used to snap every now and then. And they fired his ass. Now the Jeter Group brought him back and whatever. But if you listen to radio, Glenn Geffner's on there. This is his tweet after the Marlins swept. They swept the Phillies this weekend.
Yeah.
And then Craig Minervini also, who's a huge Marlins supporter and proponent, he's been saying that the local news stations are doing the Marlins wrong. They're not covering them. If they sweep the Phillies, they should be the lead story on the Sunday night sports news block, and that only CBS4, I believe, had them as the lead story. Anyway, here's what Glenn Geffner tweeted. I've never done this before, but it's time I get some things off my chest that need to be said.
Ooh.
So here we go. You know what's really funny about Glenn, too? At the end of each tweet, he wrote more. So you'd know that there was more to read. But the way that Twitter works threads now, you don't have to do that. You did have to do that like 9 years ago because there was no threads. So you had to like kind of search for the more. He's still with the more. That's fine. It didn't lose anything with me.
Old school.
I love the enthusiasm I've seen on social media over the last several days. The young starters have been fun to watch. Bats are coming alive. Guys are playing hard every night, win or lose. 20-15 over the last 35 games. More and more fans are telling me that they now see where this is headed, and they're getting excited for the future of the Marlins franchise. They see great talent graduating from the minors to the majors, with more talent developing in waves that will arrive later this season, next year, and down the road. Now it's time for people to start showing up at Marlins Park to support this team. You think it's a coincidence? They play better in front of 40,000 fans in St. Louis and Philadelphia than they do in front of 9,000 at home. Oh, by the way, at the end, like every time I stop here, more.
Do you want me to throw in the more?
No, I got it. I just want everybody to know that there's more. I'm not reading a paragraph. I'm reading tweets.
What, Glenn, like every time you pause, I'll throw in the more.
No, I'm good. I got it here, but I appreciate it.
All right, just let me know.
Good job,
I appreciate
Solana.
It. For you, less. You know what I'm saying? You remember the 5 o'clock hour Friday? You hijacked the show?
I did.
All right. This is Glenn Geffner, Marlins radio playman. Glenn Geffner. Having energy in the ballpark makes a huge difference. Seriously, you can get tickets for $10. There are even free tickets available to select games for first responders, active and retired military and seniors. You wanted a new ballpark? You got one. You wanted a roof to get you out of the heat and the rain? You got one. You wanted a new owner? You got one. For anyone who claims they're not coming to games because of players who were traded away, this team was last in attendance with all you guys you now claim you can't live without. This ownership group is doing what they said they were going to do. They've invested in the ballpark experience and the community, and they're building a team from the bottom up that will be able to compete annually, not just once a decade. I know there's a small core group of you who come out regularly, in some cases literally every night. I love you guys, your incredible passion, your undying devotion. You deserve a winner more than anybody. But for the rest of you, it's time to start showing up. You've never been to Marlins Park? Grab the family and check it out once. You come once a year, come two or three times. There's no doubt this team and this franchise is headed in the right direction for the long haul. It's time for you guys to start showing up. The Nationals and Phillies are in for six, Tuesday through Sunday. Tomorrow through Sunday, there will be six home games. Final home games before the All-Star break. Enough with the excuses. Grab some tickets and allow yourself to have some fun and support the hometown team. It's time. The ballpark is great. The food is great. Parking is close, safe, and convenient. And in my experience, it's cheaper than other pro sporting events in town or at any other big league park I've seen for comparable convenience. It's time, South Florida. Hope to see you at Marlins Park.
Sounds good. They still have the fourth best record in baseball.
First worst, sorry, in baseball.
I understand what he's saying. There's building. There's building blocks. There's pieces that we're excited about. There's things that could work out next year or 2 years down the road. It's right now. This is a microwave society, bro. He's probably a nice dude. I just got to explain to him what's going on. If you're not winning now, you're irrelevant to fans.
Only six game back of fourth place in the
East. Don't say only six games back.
Only six games.
Only six games back.
Of fourth place.
Of fourth place in the NL East.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, he's not telling you that they're a contender, that they're in wild card chase. I'm telling you, though, he created a conversation over the weekend because of his passionate Twitter thread there.
Swept the Phils.
Swept
the Phils.
I can really give you a great comparison. When the Dolphins beat the Patriots last year with the Miami Miracle, did that put the Dolphins back on the NFL map of relevance?
But what he's saying, there's some nuance here. He's not saying that they're relevant. He's not saying that they're contending. All he's saying is enough complaining. They're 20-15 in their last 35 games. The ballpark is fun. Stop just complaining. Get your ass out to the ballpark. Now, he works for the team. I get it. Like, I get where he's coming from. I'll give you a passionate defense of this radio station to people that think, you know, AM talk radio down here is tired and washed up and it's the same names and personalities and they're doing lists and Mount Rushmore and blah, blah, blah. I'll give you the most passionate defense that it's not that. And by the way, I believe it, just like I believe Glenn Geffner believes that.
Yeah.
Doesn't change what you're saying, though. They're a bad team. They're a bad baseball team. They're just a bad baseball team. And so while he could take pride in the direction that it's headed, most sports fans don't care about the direction.
No.
They care about looking at the standings, seeing a team that is relevant, to use your word, and one that's competing for the playoffs, and then that's where they'll spend their money. Like he's screaming into a vast vacuum of space there, because the last thing that, you know, so-called Marlins fans want to be lectured about is supporting the Marlins team. That's the reality of
and
it.
They've made a lot of mistakes over the years. Mm-hmm. Ballpark location, moving forward with Loria, what they did, the experience, the Jack Shack back there, the little nobody liked the little thing they took out. Like, you've made all those mistakes. You can't tell me, hey, we swept a couple teams. It's time to love us again. You have to gain that love the same way that Loria and Samson broke that love.
It takes as much time, I think, to gain that love back, unless you have a really good run. Like, I mean, listen, if you're in the playoff hunt, you'll have people out there. There's no question. Well, I wouldn't even say the playoff hunt for the Marlins. If you're a playoff team, you'll have people out there. You'll have more people out there if it's the playoff hunt. But, you know, listen, if you can't win on a consistent basis, don't tell me that everything is in the process of getting fixed. Like, I'll wait and see that it gets fixed.
Baseball wise, it's a question out of me. 20-15 over the last 35 games. 5 games over 500 in 35 games, or 16 games under 500 for the season?
Right.
What means more to a fan?
Right. I mean, the 16 games under 500, no one keeps track of what happened in the middle 35 games of the season. Right.
Geffner, I'm with you, bro. I'm not turning my back on you, baby. I don't even know this dude. That's why I'm talking. I don't know why I'm talking to him
nice
like this.
Nice guy. Loves Shake Shack. Good. That's really all I know about him. He tweets about Shake Shack a lot.
I like him now anyway.
How could you not like a Shake Shack?
Everybody likes Shake Shack. But you have to look at the bigger picture. That's what fans do.
Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit today. There is a lot of stuff to get to. Gino Toretta, though, is going to join us in the next segment. This Paradise Camp, man, you got to be nervous, Crowder. I mean, they might as well have a Hall of Fame induction ceremony at that Paradise Camp. I mean, that is a litany of football stars.
As a Gator fan, I try to act like it doesn't happen and try to get through the couple days as fast as possible.
So,
because it's cool as hell.
Gino Toretta was there, so I just kind of want to get his vibe from everything that transpired.
I heard Michael Irvin's speech.
Michael Irvin had that speech. Alonzo Highsmith carries some weight around there. Like, I mean, it is a litany of stars. So Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. We're going to talk Paradise Camp with him in a moment. Rainy season is here, although last couple days have been very nice, but it's been raining a lot. It'll rain again, obviously. Look, if you've got a little roof leak working in your house, it's all about All American Roofing. Rainy season, that might remind you every year of roof leaks that you've been trying to ignore for a while. Don't ignore them, because those leaks, they could become destructive to your home. All American Roofing is the way to go. They've been in service for almost 30 years. They've got a team of licensed and insured roofing contractors, and they're always available to provide the best in customer service, and they're very trustworthy. You know, you can get in bed with one of these bozo companies. Don't do that. Stay aware. All American Roofing is trustworthy. They've got emergency services available 7 days a week. They're always there to help. So whether you need a brand new roof or just a repair, estimates are always free. Your house is there to protect you during rainy season and hurricane season. If you're finding that it's raining inside your house, you got to call my friends at All American Roofing. Call 954-772-ROOF. That's 954-772-ROOF. Or online, allamericanroof.com.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Now, being told that Gino Toretta chose this song, I've told, you know, Alejandro, I want all songs about paradise because of this paradise camp that University of Miami had. Now, I don't believe you, Alejandro. I don't believe that Gino chose this particular song.
Who is this?
This is Lil Uzi Vert.
Like, Gino don't know about no damn.
Because if he was
going to
choose a paradise song, it would be maybe Gangster's Paradise,
okay.
Paradise by the Dashboard Lights, Meatloaf.
Don't believe me.
All right, well, let me go. Let me go talk with Gino.
Gino and Lil Uzi Vert.
There's no chance.
Lil.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Gino Toretta, the former Heisman Trophy winner. Did you choose this song, Gino?
Well, I just stopped laughing, and that was my response when I was asked the question. So, I didn't.
Of course not. Yeah. Rockin' the Paradise by Styx, right? I know what your musical style is.
No, I'm fine with it all. I just started laughing because I was like, no idea.
Yeah.
No idea who's behind curtain number two.
Oh, and it's Lil Uzi Vert.
I was
going to
say, behind curtain number two is Lil Uzi Vert. Gino Toretta. Now, this UM Paradise Camp, I was just saying to Crowder, like, this is so unique.
Yeah.
First of all, the name Paradise Camp is great, right? Like everything about it, but this is the first one with Manny Diaz as the head coach. So can you tell us, you were there, can you tell us a little bit like what it was like?
Well, it was awesome. I mean, I think that, you know, if you're a kid and I believe the camps are free and they're, you know, I don't know, they had 160 people walk, you know, recruits and high school kids walk up, you know, and register for the camp. And then, you know, you get an opportunity to listen to current players, former players, the coaches, You know, and like I told the quarterbacks, I mean, if you can just learn one thing, and Michael Irvin said it best, he goes, you know, take what you learn and put it in your toolbox. Because to become a better player from when you're a freshman or high school or even in eighth, seventh, eighth grade is you have to just learn little bits and pieces. And I told the quarterbacks, I go, write down the stuff. And you might not get it right now, but just, you know, put it in your toolbox. And when you get it, then you can, you know, go out there and it's what you do when we're not out here coaching you to you know, helps you get to the next level. But, no, it's awesome. Obviously, as a former player to you know, be around guys I played with, guys I played after or before, you know, and kind of, you know, just hear the stories of Rohan Marley was kind of holding court of his recruiting visit of the former players was pretty funny before camp.
It sounds like you can't share.
Well, so Donnell Bennett, who was a running back after me, one of my running backs. So he goes, they asked me to host Rohan, and they didn't tell me his last name, nothing. They just said, his name's Rohan. He's like, oh, okay. So he goes back, and that was back when we had football dorms, was building 36. And he goes, I'm sitting in my room, building 36. And he goes, all of a sudden, there's a knock at my door. Rohan Marley opens the door. He goes, are you ready to go? The recruit is asking his host, who's a current player, are you ready to go? And, oh, by the way, he showed up in, like, a GMC Typhoon. This would have been in the late 80s. You know what I mean? Like you know, a kid with a, you know, $50,000 tricked-out car showing up to the current player and say, hey, you ready to go? Come on, let's go. We're going.
I mean, that's Crowder's dream recruit.
I love him.
Yeah, wouldn't spend that $40. I'm with you, Crowder.
I had Willie Williams was my craziest recruit, and he was kind of like that, Gino. But, Gino, I got to ask you, man, I'm 100% transparency, Gino. I'm a hater because I'm a Gator. This Paradise Camp, it sounds too cool. Y'all are stealing our guys. Are y'all really trying to evaluate the kids, or y'all trying to impress the kids? Because Paradise Camp sounds like you're shooting your shot at these young men.
Well, I mean, is there a difference? Yeah, you're trying to impress them with obviously the championships and the Hall of Famers and the guys that ran through there, and then you're evaluating. And I think the best thing Manny did was he said, "Listen, we're not doing height, weight, 40 time. You're going to go out there, learn some of the fundamentals and some plays, and then you're going to compete. Whether it's 1-on-1 and 7-on-7 for the skill guys, and you see how guys perform. And you know, the kids were out there showing out. I mean, there were some impressive dudes. I mean, the tight end, I don't know the tight end's name, but everybody in America is on him from Las Vegas. This dude made Jeremy Shockey, like he dwarfed Shockey. And I had a couple quarterbacks, and they go, is that guy still in high school? And I go, yes, he's going to be his senior. I mean, he was six. He reminded me of like somebody that's Bryant McKinney size in high school. God. I mean, he was like 6'6", 6'7", you know, maybe even bigger than that, a legit probably 260 and ripped. And he wanted to take every rep against anybody that was coming at him.
Man, that's the that's the swagger that we like. I was Gino Toretta is with us. I was reading from Christy Cabrera Chirinos in the Sun Sentinel. She had listed some of the people that were at the Paradise Camp. So you were there: Alonzo Highsmith, David Njoku, Jaquan Johnson, Sheldrick Redwine was there. Travis Homer, she said, was there. So, and there were more than that, huh?
Oh yeah, Herndon. Randall Hill was there. Shockey. You know, Sapp was there. I mean, it was legit. I mean, the guys that were there, and you know, you have about, you know, a few hours to kind of impart your wisdom on them and see how they perform when they take some reps. So that's always fun.
I would imagine, like, younger guys though, like Jeremy Shockey probably is impressive because that's a name they probably played on video games, right? But like Gino Toretta and Alonzo Highsmith, no knock on you, I'm your age, but does it have the same cachet?
They had NC2A Madden when I was in school, didn't they? Hell, I'm still on some games.
I think it was on Atari 2600.
Hey, don't be sleeping. I got a check from them sons of bitches for not paying me up for that game.
I think Crowder got that check too.
It wasn't a huge check, Gino, but it was a check.
Hey, exactly. If it's free, give me two of those checks.
But they impressed by you? Like, are they impressed by Gino Toretta and Alonzo Highsmith and guys maybe they didn't watch?
Well, I mean, I think when you tell somebody you won the Heisman Trophy, I think that's an impressive accomplishment.
That's a pretty good calling card. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
I think it's funny because I think a few years ago when we first did this, they basically said, okay, introduce yourself. And I'm like, what? You don't have an MC to introduce all these guys? So we had to, get a microphone, or we did it without a microphone because it was outside in Green Tree. But this time we had a microphone. I wanted to introduce myself as Gino Toretta, 0-star recruit, told not to come here, 26-2 starting record as a quarterback, 2 titles, and 1992 national champion or an Heisman Trophy winner, and walk off the stage.
See, no one can introduce you better than you can introduce you.
That's awesome.
What do you think is more impressive to high school athletes today, Gino Toretta and him having been a Heisman Trophy winner, or Rohan Marley being the son of Bob Marley?
Oh, there's no doubt, Rohan Marley.
Yeah, because you had a better collegiate football career, but Bob Marley's his dad.
The Rohan Marley stories, I mean, I could go on and on. Well, his freshman year when he showed up at Two Days, and, he was a younger kid, so the rookies were in before the veterans. I roll in, he's got a brick cell phone, and I'm like, who in the hell is this kid? And they're like, oh, that's Rohan Marley. I'm like, who? And they're like, Bob Marley's kid. And I'm like, and then every dude on the team that didn't live in Miami, they were borrowing his cell phone to churn up minutes for long-distance calls, for free long-distance calls when he was a freshman.
So that dude, as a freshman, had the Marley money at his access.
Dude, he came to football camp, and I still remember this. He came to football camp when he was in high school. He checked in. Now, Hawk, you remember big screen TVs back in our day.
That was called Team Lift when you got out of the store.
You had to call a furniture mover to move your TV, right?
Yep.
He checked in to the towers as a camper, for an overnight camper for a week, with like a 50-inch TV screen, all his Sega Genesis. He had to give them his car keys. He had a GMC, kitted out Typhoon car, like a SUV. I mean, it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, he had better stuff than anybody that was a current student.
That's unbelievable. And he was able to relate to everybody, right? Like he was a man of means, but
he was relentless on a field. I mean, hard worker, never slowed down. I mean, it's one thing to have the means, but, when you go out and just, run down on kickoffs as a freshman and like a crazed dog, I mean, he was awesome to play with. We're still good buddies. He's fun.
And, talking about that, like the UM way, because I want to talk about it. Saying you hit it on earlier, where did you see guys that were talented, but then you saw guys that were talented and UM-type players with that swag. Like the tight end made me think about it, where you said he'd walk up and whoever lined up in front of him, he was going to beat him. Like, can you see a UM player with a talented non-UM player? Could you see the difference?
Yeah, I think, I think like Michael Irvin said in his speech, he goes, listen, we told your mom, your dad, your sister, brother, niece, nephew, cousin, we were going to beat you. And we were going to have fun doing it. And I think that's what, we equate to the swag, was going out there and just going, listen, we're going to run the ball right here, and we don't care if you know what we're going to do. We're still going to beat you doing it. And I think that there was guys out there. They were competing. They were talking. I mean, I love it. I was talking smack to Randall Hill. I was like, Randall, come on. I can out-throw you now. I mean, you see how much weight you've put on? And Ja'Cory goes, man, I love you, Gino. You're still talking crap. I'm like, why not, man? This is what it's all about. So, yes, you could tell. And Channing, when you've hosted guys that, let's say a guy from the Midwest, great player, may not have the kind of attitude that you're like, dude, this guy's never going to survive at Miami or Florida or one of these schools. He's going somewhere in the Midwest. He's not coming down here.
Oh, no, Gene, it was funny because I brought up Willie Williams earlier, and when I hosted him at UF, and it's a long story, he got arrested. It's a whole nother thing. We need another 30 minutes to tell the Willie Williams story.
That was your last hosting visit when you got a recruit arrested. Yeah. Even at Christmas.
Charlie Strong cussed me out. He let me have it. But Willie Williams looked me in my eyes, and he was like, they're recruiting me to play middle linebacker. And I kind of looked back at him. And I was like, Willie, I play middle linebacker. You're going to start over me? And he kind of shrugged his shoulders. That's that Miami thought. That's that process that like, Miami guys
yeah,
have.
Yeah, it was exactly why I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah, but like playing middle linebacker.
At UM back in that day and at Florida when you were there, because you've told me about meeting at the Gator and whatnot in the locker room, like you're being thrown into something where you've got to be able to handle your business.
Yeah, I mean, but I think, you know, when you have a top-flight program and you're competitive, you're not giving anything to any of these kids. You know, like I told them, you know, listen, you can't script your next 5 years if you're, you know, a senior going into, to your last year. I'm like, hell, if the transfer portal when I was in school was around, I probably would have tried to transfer out of Miami too. I mean, I as a redshirt freshman, Craig Erickson gets hurt. I start 4 games, break the school record for passing, and I'm like, man, I got this game whipped. I can play anywhere in the country. And if I had that option, that's why you got to tell these kids, it's like they all think the grass is greener where on the other side, wherever that is, whether that's, you know, Miami, Florida, or whatever. It's like, you know, pick your place you want to go compete. And sometimes even if guys don't, you know, get a chance to start much in college, you know, they get a chance and they blossom at the next level. So it's just all about going somewhere and competing.
Gino Toretta, so tell us, Hurricanes fans were excited. It's the first season under Manny Diaz. Did this Paradise Camp feel any different than it did, you know, in the past?
Well, I think it was similar. I think, you know, Mark started it off right and got, you know, guys, you know, involved. I think the best part of what they did was moving it back to June, and they got a lot of the current active NFL guys. Because before the time frame they had it, the active guys were in mini camps and OTAs and stuff, and there wasn't a lot of active players. But, to have Joku and Herndon from the Jets and all the kids that got drafted this year, and literally Duke Johnson and literally just, you know, listen, the best thing Michael Irvin said, he goes, listen, you come here and you lose, you have to answer to these guys. And he pointed to all of us because that's how it was. It was like if you lost, you did not want to talk to any of the alumni players because they were like, what the hell's wrong with you guys?
Hey, Gino, take all your Kane bias, your Heisman Trophy. I know it's hard to put that aside.
National championship.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun.
You okay over there? Gino, I haven't been down since the new facilities, the indoor facilities are built, and I know you go around.
Better than anything in Gainesville.
Don't listen to him, Gino. Answer my question, Gino.
I'm sorry.
Are the Canes caught up? Are y'all right on par with the weight room, the inside facilities? Are y'all right on par with all those top five conferences now?
Yes, I mean facility wise, they got everything that you need and then some. I think to me, Crowder, is when Miami, Florida State, and Florida are dominant, I don't think you're practicing inside. And listen, I'm adamant. You got to be out on that grass, and you got to be sweating your know what off. And I mean, I can remember weigh-ins before practice and weigh-ins after practice. It was 6 pound minimum of sweat you were losing at practice. And if you're not doing that now, you lose some of your advantage when you get to the fall and playing games. Now, the best part is, you know, when I played, they sure as hell didn't have no lightning warning things because there was lightning. I swear to God, it struck right in the canal, right next to our practice field. So, but now you have that, so you got to be able to go inside when the weather gets bad, you know, and lightning's in the area. So I think that's what you need the indoor facility for down here. And you know, listen, you hang up banners, and like Hawk said, they don't know, you know, 30 years ago when I played and what I accomplished. You know, they know the guys that are there now, but they hang up banners and all that fun stuff. So I think that, you know, it serves a purpose. But to me, you get your real work done outside in the heat and humidity down here.
Gino Toretta. Someone texted in, took issue with the fact that I introduced you as the former Heisman Trophy winner. Said when you win a Heisman Trophy.
I tell you that every time. There's only one former winner. I think it's Reggie Bush. But
so if they take your Heisman, you're a former winner. But if, as long as you get to keep it, you're a Heisman Trophy winner. It makes sense, right?
If you were deemed ineligible, yes, I believe that.
I'm sure if they did a little digging on you, Gino, they'd take that trophy back as well.
I say
that with the pride of being a Hurricane graduate. I think
my statute of limitations on NCAA rules is way, way long gone.
Where do you have that Heisman Trophy? Where is it?
It's on the bookcase.
Does anyone come to your house and not know what that is?
No. No. I bought a Peloton bike the other day for my wife for a present, and the kids are setting up the bike, and the guy looks up the hall and he looks at me kind of cross-eyed. He goes, "Is that a Heisman Trophy?" Oh yeah.
He was probably 23, 24 years old. Didn't know what the hell was going on.
Because that's probably one of the most recognizable trophies on the planet, right?
I'll give you a quick story. The best is after 9/11 when they started X-raying all the bags. So I have a hard-sided container. It's foam-filled. I can put the trophy in there, and I can check it as luggage to take it with me somewhere if I'm going to do an appearance or something like that or something for a charity, right? So in old Fort Lauderdale Airport, they had an X-ray machine, Hawk. Do you remember this? Like right when you stepped inside the door, you would check your bag, and you would have to stand there, and they would X-ray your bag as you stood there, right? So I still remember flying out of Fort Lauderdale. Guy puts the case up there. Now, the case and trophy's 70 pounds.
It comes with a case, by the way, or did you have to go out and get a separate? Like, do they give you the trophy with a case?
Somebody that makes them, you know. But
is that an upcharge when you win the Heisman? Is the case an upcharge?
It's a charge.
We're focusing on the stupid stuff. That's
the moniker for this show.
Stop focusing on the stupid stuff.
Well, but no, that would be interesting though if you win a Heisman Trophy and then you're leaving with it and they're like, also you might need a travel case for it. It's $480.
Well, one, you don't get the case until after because Eddie George, if you might recall, he checked his trophy as luggage in 1994, and it went through the X-ray machine and got stuck, and it came out with the middle finger. So it had bent two of the fingers, so it looked like his trophy was flipping everybody off. So he had to get another one. But back to my story. So the guy sitting there running the X-ray, and this would have been probably 93. After 9/11. So I'm standing there, and I'm watching the guy with the X-ray thing with the belt. And he's like, and the case goes in. He stops it, goes forward a little bit, goes back a little bit. Then he like leans out so he can not see the screen and he can look at me, right? And he's like looking at me, and he's looking at the trophy. He's looking at me, he's looking at the trophy. And then he goes, "Hey, Joe, Jim, come on, we got to open up this case. We got to look at we got extra security look at the Heisman." I mean, it's absolutely hilarious.
It's funny, like because you can imagine the X-ray visual on that. It looks exactly like a Heisman Trophy, and then he recognizes you.
But I don't know if he recognized me. I think he was thinking like, "Who's this white boy? Why does he have a Heisman Trophy with this case?" You know, I was like, "Who is this clown?"
Doesn't look like Reggie Bush.
Thought you stole it.
So you don't know if you had to buy the case? It just came with the case?
I think I did buy the case.
Oh, you did? Okay. Can you put other stuff in there, or is it only for transporting the Heisman?
No, it's got enough foam. It's like cut foam and injected foam to where you have to jam it in there.
I got you.
Can you imagine checking it as luggage? The thing's going to bounce around. Yeah, you can't put anything else in there.
Yeah, you can't let that out of your sight.
Every time I go somewhere and I bring the trophy, those little papers they put in your bags when the TSA actually checks your bags,
which
happens every so often. 100% of the time that case is open.
Right.
And a slip
they alert you that it was actually checked by hand. Oh, but who wouldn't want to look through the Heisman Trophy luggage?
I'm shocked I haven't seen pictures like on social media. Like, hey, look what we just had roll through, Raleigh-Durham Airport today.
Yeah.
It'd kind of be genius to get a Heisman Trophy replica and put cocaine inside and ship it. To be honest, Gino, I'm just spitballing
well,
here.
Well, he's already got the case.
I don't know, but that would be bad, Channing. See, that's the
oh, right, yeah, they're going to check that. Right, right.
It's going to get looked at.
Right,
it's going
right.
to get opened and scrutinized.
Hmm. Right. Yeah. They're
probably,
looking. Yeah.
Probably not
yeah.
the best thing.
There's
do,
your
so.
Florida Gator education. That's
now,
why he spent
we,
nights
I'm
in
sorry.
Jail.
Sorry, I can't
now
traffic
we know
drugs.
Not a drug dealer.
Oh, they catch me in 3 days. What is that, Mr. Crowder? I don't know. We're all fine. Let me go.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner and proud participant at Paradise Camp. We're excited. August 24th. That's when it all starts, Gino.
I'm looking forward to it.
Any chance Miami's going to beat Florida?
Any chance? Hell yeah. Yeah, there's a chance. Why wouldn't there be a chance?
How good a chance?
Huh?
How big a boy are you?
Small chance.
How good a chance?
What do you try to figure out how much you're going to bet Crowder right now?
Yeah, well, we've been back and forth on this thing, man.
And Gino, I would just let you know if you're putting some money up, just come on and call me. Don't worry about any bookies. I'm taking bets.
He is riding that Gators, man. He is certain.
Don't be that guy, Channing. I had some friends that thought they could be bookies too, because bookies always win, and they got cleaned out.
Yeah.
I'm just doing 1 week, Gino. Yeah. I'm doing one game this year. I'm going to take the book.
Gino Toretta, the Heisman Trophy winner. Thank you, Gino.
See you guys.
All right. I absolutely love that. Perfect moniker for this show.
We have to get that quote.
Focus. Stop focusing on the stupid stuff. It's all I do. It's how my head works.
We have to have that
He could
quote.
Not have encapsulated the show any better than with that one angry outburst. Stop focusing on the stupid stuff. All right, quick break for us, and we'll come back after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All Paradise songs. Just want to drive it in a little bit to the Florida Gator that sits next to me.
I respect it.
Well, it is cool.
It's
pretty unique to have guys like Michael Irvin and Alonzo Highsmith and Gino Toretta and Rohan Marley. And
I honestly, I'll let my Gator badge down to say this. With the alumnus that Miami has and the area and to Coral Gables and having those kids come down, you have a hell of a situation down here. And I don't know why coaches for years haven't been doing it. But Rick did it. And now with Manny Diaz, the way he approaches it, his energy, like the Paradise Camp is awesome. As a Gator, I hate it, but it is very advantageous to the UM program.
I was reading something in Christie's story about it. I think it was Michael Irvin saying, or maybe it was Manny Diaz. But essentially, I got to look at the story again. But essentially, you get the kids there, and you make it so they don't ever want to. They don't ever want to think, go, consider anywhere else.
I came out. It wasn't a Paradise Camp. I don't know what they called it back then. This would be 2000, 2001. But I was impressed with Coral Gables. I've told the story a number of times. Me and Buster Davis. Buster Davis was an All-American at Florida State. I was All-American at Florida. We came to Coral Gables together. Vernon Hargrave II and Larry Coker told us that they're running out of defensive scholarships. This is early 2000s. Like, this is Vilma.
People were lining up.
DJ Williams. They were lining up, and they told us. They were like, hey, if y'all want to commit, you have to commit early before taking an official visit. And that's one of the reasons why I never had UM on my list. Because I couldn't take an official visit because they wanted me, I think, to declare in like November. We didn't have to declare till May. They wanted me to declare in like November, December. And I'm like,
it's an unbelievable luxury back then, though. Like, yeah. You want to play here, we've got a spot for you. But if you're going to think about it, we ain't got time for that.
Tell you that, 5 months in advance, you have to commit to us. Or we don't have enough scholarships for you. And me and Buster Davis, who, let me switch back to my Gator mode. I think it could have been very advantageous for y'all to have me and Buster Davis in your linebacking core, but y'all missed out on us because of the fact that, yes, there were 12 defensive scholarships, and they were filling up the second they were opened. So
Man.
Some guys that wanted to take visits and elongate the recruiting process, you had to miss out on them.
I just loved reading the stories about Paradise Camp and reading all the tweets and social media and seeing the speeches and stuff. That it feels great. Again, it goes back to what I opened the show with at 2:00. Like, Glenn Geffner can rail all he wants about the Marlins fan and it's time to reengage. you got to win. And it's the same thing for the Hurricanes, too. You could have the Paradise Camp, and Manny Diaz can pull up to a booster club event on the yacht and be screaming out, I'm on a mother bleeping boat, and whatever, but you still got to win games on the football field.
It's funny. We have Houston Nutt on during football season, obviously, because he covers college football. And Houston Nutt, we talked about it a number of times. He recruited me to Arkansas. Houston Nutt knows my mom. I went up there and, it was an official visit, unofficial during the summer. And just that, I went to UM. I went to Gainesville. I went to FSU. Those schools down here, the beautiful palm trees lining the streets. And then I go to Arkansas. I could have told Coach, I didn't tell him, but I could have told him right when I walked on Arkansas's campus, oh, yeah, Coach, I ain't coming here. The middle of the woods, man. What am I going to do out here? This is ridiculous. They think they impressed me, showing me a big-ass domestic pig. Hey, you like to hunt? I was like, bro, that's a bacon pig. I hunt wild hogs. This is a bacon pig.
You're raising this pig.
This pig, he's petting him. He's licking your fingers. I'm like, Coach, you think what I saw in UM in Gainesville, a pig licking my fingers going to impress me like that? I'm not coming to Arkansas, Coach. Thank you, but no thank you.
The most important odds of the summer have been released. I will share them with you when we come back. But is that an upcharge when you win the Heisman? Is the case an upcharge?
It's a charge.
We're focusing on the stupid stuff.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.